Let us pray. Lord, as we come into this place, we know that you are already here. We ask that your Spirit will now come into our hearts and into our ears, that the words of your Scripture will be illuminated to us, that we might understand you and love you more deeply. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We have two different readings today, one of which was already previewed for you in the children's time, and that comes from the book of Jeremiah. Now, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." And our second reading then, from the book of Hebrews, beginning in chapter 12. "You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given, 'If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death.' Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I tremble with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking. For if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns from heaven?" At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire." This is the word of the Lord. I have been reading with pleasure the stories of how you are known. And in fact, look, you even like, you have it in here, in the pulpit. So how you are known, especially by God. And it's one thing to be known by a group. I come here, and even though I'm not a member, I feel like I've gotten to know many of you, and you've come to know me. And it's a good feeling, and it makes me want to come back. But to be known by God is something completely different and deeper. When we are known by God, we are known completely. The good and the bad, the confidences and the doubts, the joys that we have and the worries. When we stand bare before God with all of our messiness and our frailties, we discover, though, that we are loved. So very loved. And when we are called by name by God, called into service, it's another way that we know that God knows us and wants us and loves us. Although I have to admit, the few times that God has called me by name, it's usually because I've done something wrong. And it kind of sounds like Rachel. Or, I don't know, so it may be a little bit more with a tinge of disappointment, like, Rachel. And yet, even when I'm being scolded, it is precious to know that God knows my name. Well, both of our readings today describe a God who knows us and calls us by name, whose voice lets us know that we are loved. But these readings also describe the voice of God with violence. We're told that these words of God will shake the foundations of the earth, that they will tear down and destroy and overthrow. And so today we're going to wrestle with how is it that God's voice can speak to us both of being completely known and loved, and yet at the same time can herald this dire message. And so we start with the call story of Jeremiah. And part of what makes the Jeremiah story so beautiful is this language in verse 5 of how deeply God knows Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. God calls Jeremiah with these precious words of saying, I knew you before you were even born, before you were even conceived. Who wouldn't want to accept a call from God that comes with that message? And yet, how is it that Jeremiah responds? We heard that from the children's message today. Jeremiah says, God, truly, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. I'm just a boy. And it isn't clear that Jeremiah is, I don't know, chronologically a teenager. It could be that he is just trying to express his inexperience and his humility. But either way, Jeremiah offers God an excuse. God, you know, this offer that you've made for me sounds really good, but I'm only a boy. And it reminds me of a time in high school when one of my friends, Darlene, asked if I would go to a comedy show with her. Comedy clubs were brand new in Boise, Idaho at the time. And I remember the first act involved the comedian pointing to people in the audience and asking them what they did for a living. So, you know, I'm a pharmacist, I'm a janitor. A couple of women said, we're just housewives. And then the comedian would proceed to ridicule them. And he finally got to Darlene and me and asked what we did. And she replied, well, we're high school students. And I don't remember what the joke was that he told about us, but I remember this pattern. And I remember it because the second comedian who came on stage that night did the same act. And he started calling on the same people. But this time, the audience refused to play along. And so this time, the janitor said he was a pharmacist. And the audience thought it was hilarious because we were pulling one over on the comedian who had no idea what was going on until he got to my friend and me and asked, "Well, what do you do?" And my friend Darlene responded nonchalantly, "We're just housewives." We use those phrases, "we're just," "I'm only," as a way to diminish ourselves. So all of you who are on session or who have previously been on the session before, see if you can complete this phrase. Oh, you're active in your church. Are you a pastor? No, I'm just a ruling elder. I'm just an elder. And I don't know how many times I have heard that, and I admit that I have said it about myself. I'm just a ruling elder. No. In the church, you are ordained to ministry as spiritual leaders for the church. "I'm just a ruling elder" doesn't fly in the Presbyterian system. And "I'm just," or "we're only," doesn't fly with God either. Because listen to how God responds to Jeremiah. "Do not say, 'I am only a boy,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you." In other words, it's not our words or our value or our status. I mean, none of that comes from anyone except for God. And God knows that you are right for the job. God isn't tricked into thinking that you're the right one for the job, because God knows you. And so then God does this intimate act of touching Jeremiah's mouth and saying, "Now I have put my words into your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." God intends to shake the foundations of the earth through the words put into Jeremiah's mouth. God speaking to the nations through the mouth of just a boy. And that's where we start to get that kind of violent imagery, that violent language. At the same time, we're hearing about God's love for Jeremiah. And we hear about this voice that shakes the earth in our second reading, too. The author of the book of Hebrews paints these images of God quaking the mountains. First is an allusion to Mount Sinai, where Moses went up to encounter God and was the only one who could go on to Mount Sinai and, for example, receive the Ten Commandments. And that's also where God tells Moses, "I know you by name." The verse that you all are using as part of your known work this summer. But what we hear is that God's voice there shook the earth. And the next time, it will be on Mount Zion in the heavenly Jerusalem, where not only will the earth be shaken, but the heavens also, removing everything that is not essential to the kingdom. And so it sounds a lot like the same words that are placed into Jeremiah's mouth, that there's going to be, he's going to destroy and overthrow and to pluck up and to tear down. And so in these same passages, then, we are reminded that we are known and we are called and we are loved, and yet we hear of God's violence for our world. And how do we reconcile these very different voices of God? And what's our role, right? If in the author of the book of Hebrews is saying to us, "Don't reject the one who warns from heaven," Like, what warning are we supposed to be hearing? I didn't get the warning. Well, when you go back and study chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews this week, and I know you all will, you will see that the passage we read about these mountains quaking is bookended by sets of admonitions, the things that we should do and not do. And I'm going to go through those briefly, but I want to warn you that this is not a checklist that will make you safe, right? We don't have a kind of check-the-boxes sort of religion, because if you get through these lists, God's going to give you more, I guarantee it. Okay, but it gives us good context for what is sandwiched in the middle. So here's what you hear at the front end. Pursue peace with everyone. Pursue holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. And then on the back end, let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Remember those in prison. Let marriage be held in honor. Keep lives free from the love of money. Now remember, that's not a to-do list for you. Those are good things. But the key for us today is that you can't do all those things in the abstract. We can't do them on paper or just think about them in our heads. In order to truly hear God's voice and respond, we have to know people. We have to ensure that they are known and that they know they are loved. Pursue peace with everyone, it says. Well, I can't pursue peace with my neighbor with that annoying little dog if I don't know her and she doesn't know me. And we all can't pursue peace across racial divides if we're unwilling to live near and eat with and worship with people who look different than us, to truly know them and to be known by them. And the U.S., it can't pursue peace with Mexico or Russia or whoever else we're at odds with today if we treat their people as de facto enemies based on a boundary drawn on a Rand McNally map. Let mutual love continue. Show hospitality to strangers. Remember those in prison. All of these require us to know the other, just as God has known us, with all our frailties and our messiness. God's voice will shake the foundations of earth and heaven. It will destroy and overthrow. But it's not because God speaks words of judgment and condemnation. The words that shake the world call us to speak and to show love for one another. And the nations and the kingdoms tremble at the thought of that peace and racial justice and hospitality to strangers and selfless generosity and grace, because that's not how human kingdoms survive. When we speak like Jeremiah with God's words of love for our neighbor, we do shake the foundations of the world. And when we show love for our neighbor, we will rock the heavens and the earth. Because you see, these words do not merely tear down and destroy. Jeremiah is told that these words will also build and plant with God. The author of Hebrews promises that what will be left when everything else is stripped away is a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and urges us to give thanks in reverent and awe-filled worship. And so here we are today to worship. Let us pray. Holy One, whose voice shakes mountains and kingdoms alike, We are awestruck that you would choose to know us and to call us into your service. As you build your kingdom, place your words of love into our mouths and embolden us to love our neighbors, even when the messages surrounding us tell us to be afraid or withdrawn or defensive. We give you thanks and praise in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.